Hi, I'm Alicia.
And I'm Mizuki.
And this is Plus 81.
So Isao-kun, thank you so much for coming and talking to us.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. Can you do like a little self-introduction?
So my name is Isao Sakai. I'm currently a college freshman. I'm 20 years old, and I have been working as like a organizer for Fridays for Future Tokyo and Fridays for Future Japan. And also now I'm studying in the United States, so I'm geographically in Indiana. So quite middle of nowhere. Yeah, but that's pretty much it.
Can you introduce Fridays for Future first?
So Fridays for Future is a movement of students-led movement to urge the governments and companies to take serious climate action, because right now the temperature is rising at a really fast rate and it's going to cause more and more disasters and climate change issues. And so we started our movement since Greta Thunberg has started the school strike in Sweden 2 years ago. And in Japan, we started our movement in almost 2 years. And today, today's two-year anniversary in Japan.
Oh my gosh, congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, so since then, we've been making actions urging the governments to set more higher target for their CO2 reduction and so on. Yeah, that's pretty much what we're doing right now.
Cool. And how did you come to join Fridays for Future?
Yeah, so the first awakening was when I was studying in high school. I was studying in Michigan and in the States, and I was taking environmental science class in which I learned about the feedback loops of the climate change. Before taking the class, I know climate change is happening and global warming is real, I thought, but the issue was about polar bears and people in Tuvalu, and it was really far away from me.
Mm-hmm.
But taking the class, I just realized that this is a vicious cycle of temperatures getting higher and higher. And later I learned that that temperature rise causes us to have more typhoons, more floods, mm-hmm. and people getting displaced. And so I was just it's about me and it's about my future. I could lose my future from these disasters and stuff. So after I came back to Japan, I became part of the environmental NGO called 350.org.
Mm-hmm.
Then I was just learning how Japanese corporations and governments are doing horrible, mm-hmm. accelerating the climate change.
Mm-hmm.
And while I was volunteering for them, I happened to be joining the first climate strike organized by Fridays for Future
mm-hmm.
in Japan. Yeah, so that's how I came to be part of it.
Yeah, cool. Do you know who started the organization?
Yeah. It was mostly started by the college students
mm-hmm.
who were interns for the environmental NGOs.
Mm-hmm.
They saw Greta's speech
mm-hmm.
and learned about the student strike across the globe. And they realized that we got to do it in Japan.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, so the very first action was we only had 20 people there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We had more media than participants. But yeah, it became 5,000 around Japan in half a year.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, it's been growing.
No, it's just that's considerable mm-hmm. growth
yeah.
to go from 20 to 5,000
yeah.
in a few months. So I guess for you, the way that you came across Fridays for Future was you were involved in another organization
right.
and you happened upon
mm-hmm.
An event that or an action that
yeah.
Fridays for Future was doing. How else does Friday for Future
Mm-hmm.
recruit younger people, or how do they kind of market themselves? Did the 5,000 people
yeah.
come because of social media?
Yeah, so we used a lot of Instagram messaging and also Twitter and stuff, but I think the growing number of people who are becoming aware of climate change was, I think back then, was quite large
mm-hmm.
but they didn't have the opportunity to kind of take action
mm-hmm.
So yeah, we kind of did the like advertisement on the Instagram stuff, so I think it worked. And also the influencers also like spread our auction stuff too.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's getting more and more popular common for a young generation to take action right now.
By influencers, do you mean like Japanese influencers or?
Yeah, Japanese, like actress, like Kiko Mizuhara.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I think the biggest difference from like movements in other countries is that we branded ourselves as we are marching, not striking.
Right.
Because
yeah.
the
yeah.
word strike has such a kind of negative connotation in Japan. Like, has like a history of like student resistance in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So people kind of tend to think like strike as a more kind of violent and kind of radical kind of idea, but we made it more like sound peaceful and more kind of joyful to join.
Mm.
So I think that's kind of why it became like easier for young generation to kind of join.
I see. Yeah. Have you done a lot of marches within the organization so far?
So we've done 5 or 6 of them, but that's all like in 2019. But after that, like due to the COVID, we couldn't plan any.
Right.
But
right.
Yeah, we shifted to like online campaigns.
Yeah, because I remember the last one, I think the last big one that you had when you started, I think at the UN Daigaku, I think.
Yeah.
How was organizing that for you?
It was such a big action. I was in a costume of the earth. So when I was part of it, I wasn't preparing for like the logistics stuff, but I was more of like a spokesperson kind of thing. But I felt like solid difference from the first action, because like when I first started it, my friends are like, oh, you're doing that, like that's cool, but like just good luck. But in September, like many of my friends are like, I'm coming, like,
oh, that's nice.
Yeah, so yeah. It's like it was such a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, big change. That was pretty different. I saw many of my friends and many people in many like generations were there as well.
Mm-hmm. And for that march, what was the goal of that march?
So that's like 2 years ago right now, but Black Team, our main target or aim was to kind of spread the people awareness about this issue of climate change, as well as so technically our last march was in November 2019. And that was like targeting the government of Tokyo to declare the climate emergency, and it kind of did succeed. They pledged the declaration of that climate change is a threat and crisis, so that was kind of like success. But after that, we focused more towards like a national policy in 2020.
So your goal has kind of changed as time went on.
Right. It became more towards like policy making, and we just learned that like making people aware of this issue is not enough. We got to bring it to the politics and make a change there too.
How has that process been, by the way? Like, has that been really difficult or?
Yeah, it's kind of like getting better for sure. We never expect the government to declare that to reach carbon neutral in 2050. So that was a big success for sure. But what we are kind of like seeing as a problem is that the policy making process they're taking, it's so like hard to understand. It's just too complex and too complicated for citizens to learn.
Right.
And also it's super like not transparent.
Yeah,
so it's just like, and also the members who discuss about that topic are really biased. Many of them are from like industrial, like coal power plant financiers, or they're like really few number of renewable or like climate change like experts in this. So we are trying to like urge them to make it more transparent and also making include the opinions from like citizens and youth, especially.
Yeah,
but that's what we're like kind of facing right now.
And when you talk to these like policymakers, is there like a group, like a specific group of people that you talk to, like a specific party or?
Yeah, so when we talk to them, like that's mainly Ministry of Environment and Ministry of Economy, who is in charge of the energy policy.
I see.
Yeah, but they're like really, I don't know, like.
Yeah, I mean, I can imagine. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. They want to promote the nuclear. So it's kind of like challenging right now.
Right, right, right. So they're focusing on nuclear power?
They want to. I mean, they are saying that they won't, they are going to focus on renewables, but they still want to use nuclear as well.
I see. So they're not like willing to let go of nuclear power?
No, not at all. And it's like, even though like there's like a like poll like undertaken by scientists that about like how Japanese people feel about nuclear power right now.
Right.
And there's only like a 2% who support the nuclear.
Yeah.
But the in that like policy committee, like more than half of the members are promoting nuclear, and that's like what's happening right now.
Is that because they're tied to the companies, the nuclear energy people?
Yeah, like many of them are like from industrial background, so they do not really want to like make drastic change.
I see.
They won't, yeah, like they want to keep using the facility that they have made. So that's kind of like what they're doing. But I mean, like if you look at the around the world, like nuclear power is like getting more and more expensive.
I see.
Even though it doesn't release CO2, we don't think like nuclear is like a good option.
Right.
Yeah, no, definitely not.
No.
Yeah, I mean, we saw that with the last big earthquake.
Yeah.
There's just like so much risk involved in it, and
right.
Yeah, how do you feel about that? I know that the 10th anniversary is almost coming up. But for Fridays for Future, is it a goal of yours to try to get the governments to reduce nuclear energy?
Yeah. So we were having a discussion and kind of reached that we don't want nuclear in part of our solution. So we are mainly promoting the renewables, and we want them to achieve like 100% renewable.
Mm-hmm.
So we also have like members from like Sendai, like Fukushima, like area, and who are also really part of like anti-nuclear movement.
Right.
So yeah, we definitely have solidarity with them.
Even
though our main kind of like message is not anti-nuclear,
right.
But we certainly share that value. Yeah, you just said that like we're going to have like 10th anniversary of like Fukushima.
Yeah.
I personally think it's so like unbelievable that they're still trying to like use nuclear.
Yeah, seriously.
Despite the miscommunication with the citizens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, that's not how it works, how it should be.
Definitely. Yeah, it really doesn't make sense that so many people don't support it, but the government is still trying to push it, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Do you remember the earthquake? I don't know how old
you
are, but
I was 10 back then.
Yeah.
Were you
in Japan?
I was, yeah. I was in Tokyo. I was in elementary school. It was super big. Like I almost got sick with the like
motion sickness.
Yeah, it's like too long.
Yeah.
And also I remember like watching the TV shows after I go back to home, how tsunami like kind of sweeps the like swallows the ocean, and I especially remember like there's like the camera was spotting a like ocean, and there's like a car still like flashing its light. I was like, there must be someone in there, but like why this helicopter is not like helping them. It's just that kind of like memory is just that's devastating.
I know you talked about it a little bit, but do you know why the government is trying so hard to keep nuclear energy?
I personally think that they do not really want to kind of like change the how like industrial like structure right now.
I see.
And also many of the governmental officials are kind of like really close to the economy or Keidanren or kind of like economic field. I mean, like, from their perspective, it's kind of reasonable. Like, they just do not want to build a new, like, facility. They just want to keep using it. And also, they don't want to lose the control over the market of, like, energy and electricity. So they're kind of resisting. But I think it's kind of like foolish from like Japanese government's perspective, because like whole the market in the world is changing. And like if you do not have like renewable energy, you will not get like invested. You will not get money from the investors. So it's like, I don't know, I personally think like by doing so, Japanese kind of like market is just losing its opportunities.
So I guess Japan has still a long way to go in terms of renewable energy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, but like it kind of like shifted and on a good track right now, like way better than like a year ago.
Okay, that's good.
I mean,
good.
Yeah,
what
like
changed?
Abe administration was like, you know, they didn't like anything in terms of like renewables.
Yeah.
But the current administration kind of like pledged the policy of decarbonization.
Right, by 2050.
Yeah, by 2050. And, you know, it shows like Japan's like nationality, because like if the government changes, like every single company is kind of like starting to change.
Right, okay.
Now it became kind of like a big topic for the corporations and yeah.
That's great, yeah. This might just be like the pessimist in me speaking, but is 2050 early enough? Is that too late?
That's too late.
It's too late?
Yeah, it's like, it's gotta be 40 or 35.
So then I guess now the step is to like get them to pledge earlier?
Yeah, yeah. In Europe, like Fridays for Future, like in Europe, we're urging the governments to reach carbon neutral by 35, 2035.
Right.
So it's like long way for Japan to go.
Yeah.
Right. I see kind of role in our activism to like let like young people know that it is not enough.
Right.
And
right.
to urge the governments to take more and more and more like drastic action.
Yeah, I think you're right. Because my worry is that we're going to reach 2050, right? And then like a few years before, they're going to be like, oh, just kidding. We're going to move it to 2070 now. Or
even later, 2040.
That's just, that's my worry. I think it's just because I'm a pessimist and I don't really trust the government. But I'm just, that's what I'm just worried about.
Well, I think that's what happened with the whole like promoting women thing, right? They were like, by 2020, we're going to have this percentage. And then we're at like a third of whatever it was. So they were like, okay, well,
yeah,
we're giving
yeah.
ourselves like a 10-year extension.
I don't know. But like, I personally think that if Japan's try to do that, like, I think it's going to be left far behind other countries.
Yeah, definitely.
So, I don't know. They're just going to mess up like in either way. But what I am kind of worried about is the situation of climate change, because the reason why we need to make it carbon neutral by 2050 is that we gotta keep the temperature under 1.5 degree. And in order to do so, like 2030 is the really important target. We gotta reduce it to half by 2030. Also, we are kind of like starting to see the reports from like IPCC and WMO saying we might reach 1.5 much earlier, possibly by 2024 or 2025. So I'm kind of really worried about it, like about reaching the tipping point. But we have to like push the policies to change. But yeah, the situation is getting kind of like really severe and severe.
Yeah.
So you're kind of running out of time.
Yeah, like 2030, right? So it's, that's what, like nine
10 years?
10 years. Yeah.
9 years, yeah.
9 years, 10 years, that's not a lot of time.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I know like climate justice, like right now for Fridays for Future, like my impression of it is quite young. Like it's students or like people, like I'm 24 right now,
right.
It's like people my age. And when I think of previous climate or like that kind of environmental justice movements in Japan, I think of like the Minamata disease
movement,
but like a lot of housewives were kind of like the main demographic for it. So I'm wondering if you are like, I don't know if like collabing is the right word, but like if you're taking anything from those like previous movements in Japan, because I know it's kind of hard to like import ideas from abroad, but maybe there's some ideas they can use from Japan historically.
Kind of like learning from the movement and like overseas, especially like since I'm in the States right now. I know many of the movements have failed because it was kind of like male-centered or like white-centered movement.
Yeah.
So you kind of like leave out people of color. And like learning from the past movement that like it's very clear that like those who get it the most of the impact from environmental destruction are people of color and people who are like really vulnerable from the poverty and like global south and stuff. So we try not to be the movement of like elite, you know, like by I don't think we are kind of like elite, but my like colleagues or my like other activists are kind of like middle class students, but that can be kind of like risky in terms of like how we build a movement. We can we need to speak the words that and also propose the solutions that do not leave out the people who are who cannot take actions. So we are having like regular kind of like study groups in Fridays for Future about like learning about like poverty, like about like Minamata disease as well, and also how like other issues including like gender and LGBTQ stuff too. Like recently I really often look at the Instagram accounts that talk about environmental justice like in the US, and they talk a lot about like intersectionality, like how LGBT like sexuality and gender and like poverty and race are connected to environmental movement. Right now we are kind of like not doing enough, so I think that's the potential we have right now for improvement.
I think it's so interesting because when I think of like, I keep thinking about Minamata disease because I studied that in school, but like so many of the affected areas were like industrial, like poor areas. Like I have family in Kyushu, which like isn't a very like rich area, who like I have like relatives who are affected by Minamata disease, and it's very difficult for them to like a like get visibility, but also b like to get any sort of support. And I think like a lot of people like in our generation, like maybe our parents' generation know about it, but like I don't think a lot of people in our generation know about it. So I think sometimes maybe like I think maybe for some people in Japan, like it's hard to kind of see, like, for example, like climate justice movements abroad and be like, oh, like you know, in America, like black people are disproportionately, or like by POC are disproportionately affected by climate change. Like we don't, like some Japanese people might say like we don't have by POC, which isn't true, so like this doesn't affect us. So I think it's also like really important to like look back at our own history of climate justice in addition to like looking outside abroad, which brings me to my next question. Like what's something unique about like Japan's climate action or like climate justice movement, like good or bad, that you wouldn't really see or like deal with abroad?
So I think I'm not very sure whether it's good or bad, but the clear distinction between other countries is that the narrative of protesting or kind of like angry narrative does not really work in Japan. That's kind of like my personal like impression, because like there's like a really big division right now, like in like intergenerational division, and also like people with different like opinions have like kind of different division is kind of getting severe, especially due to like social network as well stuff too.
Mm.
So we tend not to be like too like angry tone.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like it's like,
yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's working right now in Japan. So
mm-hmm.
I think that's one of the difference. But I don't know, like I think the bad points or like the points of improvement is like we don't really have network with other countries. We do have
mm-hmm.
it, but like we don't really use
mm-hmm.
it. Yeah, there is like a lot more potential for like Japanese movement to have like solidarity or and a collaboration
mm-hmm.
with other countries.
Mm-hmm.
Also like it's kind of like my personal struggle is that working on activism in Japan kind of makes me kind of like tend to not care about the urgency. It's like
mm-hmm.
the sense of urgency
mm-hmm.
can get lost kind of easily in Japan
mm-hmm.
because we're kind of so separate from like news, like informations from other countries. So we gotta make our narrative more severe.
Mm-hmm.
Or we have to emphasize the urgency,
right? Mm-hmm.
Because like whenever I listen to other countries' activists, they're more urgent. Like we gotta
mm-hmm.
do this now,
right.
Like
right.
Mm-hmm. So that's
yeah.
like yeah, I think Japan's kind of like can be better in that sense.
Where do you think that comes from? Because like my impression is,
mm-hmm.
You know, Japan's not, even though we're like an island nation, we're still
yeah.
impacted by climate change, right? We have
yeah.
like so many, we have big typhoons in the summer and they're getting bigger every year.
Right.
And like
mm-hmm.
every year they say like, oh, it's a once in a lifetime typhoon. It's
yeah,
like, it's
yeah.
happening every year. So maybe it's not
mm-hmm.
a once in a lifetime event. And
yeah.
like my impression is that, you know, we're having all these effects of climate change happening in our own country, but even the news outlets and the news media and stuff and
mm-hmm.
maybe regular citizens are not connecting that to climate change or
mm-hmm.
there's just, they're not really seeing it as an explanation of, or a symptom of climate change and maybe something
mm-hmm.
as separate.
So like from the media perspective, I definitely think although it's getting better,
mm-hmm.
it just has not enough information. And I think the part of the reason why is that the lack of access to English information from English news source around the world. Because like if you look at the like CNN or like BBC, like you see a lot of like climate change news there.
Mm-hmm.
And also like you see a lot of news about like how youth are taking action. But in Japan, like many of the news reporters cannot really speak like English,
mm-hmm.
so they cannot get the information from the like global perspective. So
mm-hmm.
I think that's the kind of like a division or kind of like separation causing the lack of information to the public. But at the same time, like from different perspective, I kind of think we have had the like typhoons kind of really regularly, like every
mm-hmm.
year it's so common for us to have 10 typhoons a year.
Yeah.
And also earthquake is like super normal for us. So I think we have kind of like a nationality of kind of getting used to the disasters, and we just makes us like let go, like all the, even though we feel the changes and we feel like intensification of the disasters, we just feel like it's not like, I think not many of us can really make a connection
mm-hmm.
between the intense disasters and our emissions.
I think we spoke a little bit about this in our like movies episode when we talked about 311
mm-hmm.
and the repercussions or the lack of repercussions of 311 and how like a lot of things just get washed away with like shogunai
mm.
or like there's nothing much
yeah, yeah.
that we can do. So even
right.
when a typhoon happens, like we just kind of like roll with the punches even though we don't have
yeah.
to. And I guess I kind of want to go back to the concept of urgency that you were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Because one thing that really bothers me or interests me is like the divide between
mm-hmm.
like Tokyo and like the rest of Japan. For
right.
example, you know, if an earthquake happens and there's like a massive split in the road in like the 23 wards
mm-hmm.
of Tokyo, like in like 3 hours,
mm-hmm.
there's going to be like people coming and like fixing the crack and everything. But you know, in the typhoon in Chiba, like like a year ago at this point, you know, there are still people living without right. roofs and, you know, living mm-hmm. in like a gymnasium of some random school. Chiba. Like, that's not even that far from Tokyo. Like, people from Chiba come to Tokyo right. all the time. So I guess, like, I mean, this all relates because it's all connected. But I guess mm-hmm. what's something that maybe Fridays for Future or like climate activists in Japan are doing to like make sure that this doesn't become just like a Tokyo thing where like, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. like Tokyoites aren't going to be like personally affected by the typhoon. Like, I guess this relates to like the elitism as well. Like, how do we make this a more common democratic cause?
Right. So like more issue for like everyone, yeah. right? Not just like...
That's a big question. You don't have to have an answer. I'm just wondering.
Right. Just to talk about like in the context of Fridays mm-hmm. for Future, right now I'm kind of like based in Fridays for Future Japan, which is like a national network among like different regions. Mm-hmm. So we share a lot about like the situation in other regions, like whenever we have like disasters struck other parts of the Japan, mm-hmm. we kind of share our like situation and try to like support each other and also like let others know about it too. But it's kind of like difficult question, but
yeah, I don't think you need to have an answer. I think I just find it interesting like how like mm-hmm. abroad
right,
yeah
but,
like in the US you were saying a lot of the conversation is centered
right.
around like BIPOC or like disadvantaged communities,
while in Japan
sure. it does kind of end up being these college students who have like a mm-hmm. a level of standard of living.
Yeah, so I think that's the kind of like a privilege that we have that we need to be aware of. Before kind of like interacting with like activists from like other parts of Japan, I wasn't aware of my privilege, but now I'm aware like that I'm privileged to have to be able to live in Tokyo, where I have kind of access to infrastructure mm-hmm. As well as economic privilege. But I personally think that we need to use that privilege to propose the solutions that do not leave vulnerable like regions. And also, although we do not really have cases in the past, but I think we need to create more solutions that talk about the impacts of the like typhoons or like floods in other parts,
mm-hmm.
even though the media do not talk about it. Yeah, I heard that like Sandy got a lot of media mm-hmm. coverage because mm-hmm. it hit the city area, mm-hmm. the New York City.
Right. Right.
But Katrina didn't hit it hit more of like rural mm-hmm. area,
yeah.
so it was kind of less media coverage.
Mm.
But there shouldn't be like any like difference in like how media talk about it. So
yeah.
I think I see like a role for us to deliver mm-hmm. like the situations.
What does the media usually cover when it comes to climate change? And
mm-hmm.
is that something that you think works, or do you think they should be covering something else?
When they talk about the disasters, they only talk about its impact and result
mm-hmm.
and do not talk about its cause, which is
climate change
mm-hmm. and global warming.
Right.
I see the changes happening, but that's not enough.
Mm.
When we hear like news talking about like typhoons and stuff, like we talk about like casualties and where it was hit and stuff, but we barely hear about like how climate change is causing the
mm-hmm.
issue. So that's like one problem I see.
Mm-hmm.
And also I want Japanese media to talk more about like the current situation of global warming. I know many like other like BBC or CNN and talk about like how the climate prediction or like temperature prediction would be
mm-hmm.
like, and they have kind of like constant like report about it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So the absence of such information kind of like causes the lack of urgency. Yeah, and also like after the carbon neutral commitment by the government, like I see a lot of like news about how corporations and businesses changing in terms of like the environment.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't know, like I just think we need more
mm-hmm.
like news about like what's happening outside Japan.
Yeah, one issue that I keep coming across is like the SDGs.
Yeah.
And I don't know how you feel about the SDGs. I don't feel very positively towards them. I mean, I think they're a net positive, like, but I think it's just becoming like a good excuse for companies to just like pick and choose which SDGs their current business model fits
mm-hmm.
and like promoting those. Like I see companies promoting like really random SDGs, like save like, I don't know, like save this specific type of fish, which like great. Yeah. But like there is so many like debatably more urgent things than like this specific type of salmon that we need to save right now. So right. I don't know, I'm just curious about like your opinion on the SDGs. Like that was the kind of like the one media topic that came to mind when I thought of that question.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. Like, they definitely like use as like SDGs for like excuse. And I think one of the problem with that is when they talk about SDGs, they only think about the CSR, like the corporate responsibility, and they just take it as like an appeal,
like a PR stunt.
Yeah, PR and like branding. They are kind of just telling people like, make sure that we're doing good things, but. But that's like, personally think like when they talk about climate change or like even SDGs, that's about like how they transform their business and how they, yeah, like make commitment to it. So it's like, it matters like to their visions and their policies and stuff. So I just think like many people are just saying we are doing SDGs and they just stop thinking at that moment. That's a huge issue, I think.
Yeah. I think it's interesting how quickly it's caught on in Japan.
Yeah.
Because, like, now, like, everyone knows what an SDG is, right? Like, and I think that's really fascinating.
Yeah.
Like,
like, everyone knows what it is. But, again, the companies are kind of still using it just as, like, a PR stunt. And, like, it just stops at that. Yes, it's kind of like a, it's like really the minimal level that they could do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also it's like, yeah, I definitely think it's like a really good PR strategy because since SDGs have like 17 targets, it's so easy for them to find like a one like target that matches with their like business and claim that they're doing that as part of SDGs. They just don't have to change.
They just continue on with what they're currently doing, then one that just they just happen to be doing. It's not like one that they're trying to achieve, it's like one that they already have.
Yeah, exactly. They just label their like status quo as SDGs.
I guess like going off of the company kind of tangent, my impression of Japanese anti-climate change action has been very much like based on the individual level. Like it's like, don't use your AC in the summer, or like use your water bottle, not like the pitta botoru. And like that's all great. Like like I shouldn't be like blasting the AC in the summer, but I don't see as many conversations about like corporate polluters as I do abroad in Japan. And like I know why. I know where the money is coming from. But what's kind of your experience with that and like kind of putting all the burden of climate change on the individual?
Yeah, that's like definitely a problem. And yeah, that's I think our responsibility to let people know the need for system change as well as individual change. It's kind of funny, like I'm learning right now I'm learning the psychology of climate change at the college, and just learned that making people take their individual action as climate action just makes people think it as like excuse like for doing other more environmentally harmful actions. So kind of like stop using plastic bottles becomes like excuse for people to flying with airplanes.
Like they're kind of balancing it out within themselves.
Yeah, balancing it out, right. Yeah, so like in Japan, like, I don't know, people just didn't realize the need for corporations to change. So, and also the government to change. So, yeah, I definitely think we gotta like inform the people who like release the information about like what they can, what people can do. And there's like a lack of understanding about like who releases the emission. And I think that's why we kind of like lose the connection between the system and the individual. But at the same time, like it's, I personally like think it's hard to design the actions that appeal to like system change, especially during this time of like COVID-19. It's so hard to do the march. March was, I think it was effective in terms of the, we can like visualize the number of people who are kind of worried about this
mm-hmm.
issue. But now it's so hard to visualize number.
Mm.
So yeah, I'm kind of like struggling with that as well.
Yeah, personally, it makes me feel better to think that I, as an individual,
mm-hmm.
can stop climate change if I just
mm-hmm.
stop using plastic bottles than
right.
to think that this
for
is
sure.
completely out of my control. So, that yeah, that's another idea that makes me think, like, you know, in Japan, in a country that's so marred by natural disasters that are completely out of our human control, does this kind of
mm-hmm.
burden on the individual make us feel like we have more control over the situation
mm-hmm.
and quell our anxiety over it? Yeah, that's something that I've been thinking about since coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's also been my experience with environmental activism in Japan. Is on Instagram, I have a couple of friends who are into like environmental activism, but it's really mostly about like individual change versus corporations. And I think so that's maybe one improvement that we could see in Japan. But I know that Fridays for Future Tokyo, you guys just did a thing with Greta, right? The Nicole video.
Mm-hmm. We did.
And that was targeted towards corporations and governments. But can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, for sure. So we were planning like doing action towards the Mitsubishi Corporation
mm-hmm.
and other banks
mm-hmm.
that finance and plan the coal power plant
mm-hmm.
project
mm-hmm.
in Vietnam, which is contradicting these companies' policy to phase out from coal
mm-hmm.
new project.
Mm-hmm.
Also, like around the world, like the price of coal, like power plant, is getting more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
than renewable, and also it releases such a lot of CO2 compared to other fossil fuels.
Mm-hmm.
So we planned this action with other activists in Korea and Vietnam,
mm-hmm.
and also with Greta, to urging them to stop financing it.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of like turned out that they do not really have like response yet,
mm-hmm.
but I definitely think that we've created like this momentum
mm-hmm.
of corporations who are doing bad for the environment
mm-hmm.
get backlash from the youth.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that kind of like, even though we had such a lot of like negative comments from like on the like Twitter and stuff, but that was like mostly from older generations.
Right.
And I saw many of the peer generation, younger generations, either supporting
mm-hmm.
or kind of like witnessing
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel the changes are happening.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, I see a potential, but like
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
that's pretty much
mm-hmm.
what we're doing.
Yeah. Has most of the, I know you just mentioned like backlash or like hate, I guess. Has it mostly been like, not just like this video and like this this specific action, but like has most of the
mm-hmm.
backlash you've experienced from just like right-wing netoyo, or like who are the haters?
Yeah. So the right wings,
mm-hmm.
yeah,
mm-hmm.
of course. But also like climate change skeptics
mm-hmm.
and deniers.
Like Japanese skeptics and deniers?
Like Japanese, yeah. Like until quite recently, like 2 years ago, it was like the climate change denier was
mm-hmm.
quite common, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Like I've got like a lot of response from like the audiences saying like, isn't Earth becoming cooler? And yeah, but I think with the rise of like Fridays for Future movement and stuff, I think it's the belief that climate change is happening is getting more popular, more uncommon, I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like the backlash is mainly from like adult,
mm-hmm.
I think. That's the division, I think.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think that's probably true everywhere, that like it's the young people asking for change, and then it's the more the older generation who's like, no.
Right.
Yeah, that makes sense. No, but I think this is really cool to see, or this video in particular,
mm-hmm.
because it's like, you talked a little bit about not having communication with like groups
mm-hmm.
outside of Japan. And I think for this one, you collaborated with people in Korea and
mm-hmm.
Vietnam. And yeah, that was really cool to see, specifically targeting the banks and like the companies who are complicit, right, in climate change. Whereas like maybe on the outside, they're like, oh, SDGs, but yeah. In reality, they're like funding coal power plants.
Right.
Yeah. What's next for Fridays for Future, or what is your goal this year, if you have any?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this year is like the most crucial year mm-hmm. for Japan's climate action, mm-hmm. because Japanese government is going to decide its target for 2030 mm-hmm. by the November this year. Mm-hmm. So it determines like Japan's contribution to
right.
whether it's going to tries to solve the climate
mm-hmm.
change or not.
Mm-hmm.
So we gotta create this momentum
mm-hmm.
to make the change.
Mm-hmm.
And the most recent ones coming up is we're gonna have a Global Day of Climate Action.
Mm-hmm.
That's the name of the action.
Mm-hmm.
In March 19th.
Mm-hmm.
It's gonna be it's like a hand action. I think it's since we cannot have a like physical action,
right.
we're gonna do like write a
mm-hmm.
message on our hand
mm-hmm.
and post it
mm-hmm.
on like Instagram and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So we wanna have like as much as people like participating
mm-hmm.
in it. So yeah, please check out like fridaysforfuture.jp and you'll see like what's happening around Japan
mm-hmm.
and also what's happening
mm-hmm.
on the net like internet.
Great.
So
is there anything else you want to have in the podcast episode that we didn't get to?
So I think, of course, climate change is an issue. It's like imminent, perilous issue. But I personally think it's like a chance for improvement. It's like the world, like business and investors and like in people in many fields are trying so hard to create this solution, as well as like I see like a lot of youths are unifying
mm-hmm.
around the globe, and I don't think we've ever seen it before.
Mm.
So it's like we have this potential to create the change in the social system to a better way, or like in a just
mm-hmm.
way.
Mm-hmm.
So like we can have this chance for transformation
mm-hmm.
to that kind of like just society. So even though it can be kind
mm-hmm.
of like depressing issue, I think it's really important to have this hope
mm-hmm.
and be connected with other people who are taking action
mm-hmm.
and encouraging each other.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, like for those of you like who are listening to this podcast, like if you have any questions, yeah, please like do contact me or Rise for Future, and we would love to like talk about like what we can do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, where can we find you on social media? How should people contact you?
You can just add me on like Instagram, like at isao.sakai_. And also like Fridays for Future Japan has an Instagram, and we, even though it's in mostly in Japanese, like for those of you who understand Japanese, please check out like we're having like regular information about like the current policies and what's happening in Japan
mm-hmm.
stuff. And we are also releasing information about our action there too. So yeah, please check it out.
Awesome.
Thanks so much for joining us today.
Yeah.
Thanks for talking to us today.
Thanks for having me.
And yeah, we'll link the video that
mm-hmm.
you did with Greta too, so people can watch it.
Yeah, please share it. Like for like who are listening to
mm-hmm.
it, like please do share
mm-hmm.
it like on your Instagram stories
yeah,
and stuff.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to Plus 81. Plus 81 is hosted by me, Alicia,
and me, Mizuki.
Music by Stone Stewart. You can find us on Instagram at Plus 81, that's plus81.pod, and on Twitter at plus81_pod. That's again plus81_pod. You can email us any questions and comments at plus81.pod@gmail.com.